We say no more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No
more. Hi, everybody. It's me, Will Bowen, number one international best-selling author, founder of A Complaint-Free World, and the world authority on complaining. Welcome to part three in our five lesson series. And before we get started, let me just say, way to go. You know, you're even more awesome than you thought, and I'll bet you don't even know why. Well, studies show that only about 5% of people who purchase a comprehensive instructional series like this one never get this far. And yet here you are. That makes you the top 5%. Of all the people who get the bracelet and try to go 21 days in a row without complaining on their own, you know, only a fraction make it. By investing in this program, you have dramatically increased your likelihood of success. You're committed to learning more, going deeper, and staying with it. Give yourself a pat on the back because you deserve it. I told you, you could do this, and you can. You're doing it right now. You're staying with me along this path, and you're letting the ideas and exercises do their thing to shift your consciousness. No matter how your complaint-free journey seems to be going, whatever day you're on, and remember, there's no shame in day one. However you're doing with switching your bracelet, celebrate the fact that you're still here, hanging with it. As long as you keep coming back, keep taking in this information, and keep switching your bracelet, the Complaint-Free Challenge is going to change your life forever. And if you've been slacking off wearing the bracelet but not switching it, sort of doing the counting in my head thing, oh yeah, that's a thing. People tell me that all the time. I wear the bracelet on my wrist to remind me, but I don't really switch it. I just try and keep track in my head every time I complain. Not once, never, have I seen people who do the not switching but counting in my head thing complete the transformation. So if you're one of those no switchers, great. You have amnesty for not doing the challenge correctly up until now. Today is a new beginning. Wearing the bracelet without switching it to the other wrist with every complaint while, quote, counting the complaints in your head is like wearing exercise clothes while imagining yourself doing push-ups and expecting to get fit. It ain't gonna happen. So, congratulations to you for staying with it and keep switching your bracelet when you complain. Hey, I know I have yammered on a lot already, but remember, this is a comprehensive program that builds on itself. This is module 3. If you've missed either of the first two, do yourself a favor and watch those first. I'm excited you're here, and even more, I'm excited to know your complaint-free goal date. Did you set a date? Remember, that was part of your homework. Setting a complaint-free goal date was something I discovered for myself and have since seen work like magic for everyone who tries it. When I first did the complaint-free challenge, it was nerve-wracking. As you know, I didn't expect this whole complaint-free thing to blow up and become a really big deal. But it did. And I was getting a lot of attention while I was trying to do the complaint-free challenge myself. Remember now, no one had ever done this before those of us who started that July morning in 2006. No one had, to our knowledge, ever gone 21 consecutive days without complaining. So we had no way of knowing if we were doing great in our transformation or if we were bombing miserably. So, everyone was watching me, the nut who came up with this crazy idea, to see how he's doing at his own concept. And it seemed like everyone, including myself, thought I should be doing it faster than I was. You know, this all sounds silly in retrospect, but it felt like I was under a lot of pressure. And as part of that pressure, all of a sudden, I wasn't supposed to complain. And I was doing a terrible job. I was switching my bracelet so many times it looked like I had a nervous disorder. In fact, during one of my very first local TV interviews, when I showed the reporter how to switch the bracelet, I had already switched mine so many times that it popped and went thwang and flew over the cameraman's head. I couldn't seem to make any progress in the complaint-free challenge until it finally occurred to me that if I wanted to accomplish any other kind of goal, I'd set a date to complete it by. I'm going to lose 20 pounds is good, but do you mean you're going to lose 20 pounds in the next 3 months or sometime before you die? Your mind will realign the patterns of your life when it understands what your priorities are. Therefore, it's not good enough to say, I'm going to complete the complaint-free challenge, or I'm going to go 21 days in a row without complaining. You've got to pick a completion date. That's what I did. I picked a date a couple of months out, and remember, I had no idea how long this might take. I'd probably already been at it a couple of months when I did that, and I hoped that in 2 more months I'd make it. And I did. You know, I think it actually took me a week longer than my goal date, but I did it faster than most people I know. The second time I did the complaint-free challenge, yeah, every half decade or so, it's a good idea to do it again. The negativity of the world and old habit can pull you back into complaining. So the second time I did it, it took me almost 6 months, but it was also during a time when I was in constant pain for months, having had major shoulder surgery. But I set a goal date and I made it. The point I'm making is that both times I personally did the complaint-free challenge, the thing that I believe made me succeed is setting a goal date for completion. All right, now's your chance. You've picked your complaint-free goal date, the day you will have successfully completed the 21-day complaint-free challenge. So be sure and make it official. Put yourself on notice by posting your date below in the comment section. Tell us your complaint-free goal date and let us support you in reaching your goal. Switch your bracelet with every complaint. That was part of your homework. You are also to choose a goal date to complete the complaint-free challenge. And finally, you are to practice the magic question. If it were possible, how might you do it? To people who complain, to remove themselves from responsibility. This is such a powerful tool for getting other people to stop passing the buck and start taking responsibility. If it were possible, how might you do it? Did you ask the question? How did it work? Were you able to keep asking it amid the person's complaining answers? Let us know in the comments section. If you did it, you have experienced something like this. You give someone a task, they complain to get off the hook, you ask, if it were possible, how might you do it? And the person complains about your response. What do you mean, if it were possible? I just thoroughly explained that it is impossible. Don't back down. The power in this question is it's being repeated. If it were possible, how might you do it? This lets the complainer know that you're not taking any excuses, so they might as well figure it out and get to work. And remember that it's a powerful question to ask yourself frequently. The thing that most often limits us from doing, becoming, and having anything we want is a belief that for some reason, it's impossible for us. This belief is buried in most of our brains. Oh, sure, yeah, she can do it, but not me. It's the belief that holds you back. You have to believe that you are equal to what you've said is important to you, because you are. When I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show, after filming ended, Oprah took questions from the audience, and one young woman raised her hand, and when Oprah called on her, the woman began to shake and cry. She just couldn't believe she was actually talking to Oprah Winfrey. In an attempt to calm her down, Oprah actually called the young woman down to the stage. But as she approached Oprah, she got even more hysterical. By the time she stood next to Oprah, the woman was a mess of tears. She kept saying how much she loved Oprah and how much she had learned from Oprah and how much Oprah had changed her life. She said that Oprah seemed to always be talking just to her. Then why are you crying? Oprah asked. Because you're so great and I can't believe I'm standing so close to you, the woman sobbed. Oprah said, sweetie, if you believe that I'm so much better than you, Somehow you've missed the whole message I've been trying to share over the years. You're every bit as great as I am. That's what you've got to believe. Don't believe you're less than me or anybody else, because you're not. Wow. When I saw that exchange between Oprah and this young woman, I thought, Oprah really is as cool as everyone says. And that message is so important. Don't believe you're less than me or anybody, because you're not. Stop telling yourself you can't do things you want to do. When you tell yourself you can't do something, use the question, if it were possible, how might I do it, to set yourself straight. Believe in yourself, especially when it comes to the complaint-free challenge. You can do it, and I'm here to help you. Let's remember that people complain for only one of five reasons, as remembered by the acronym GRIPE. In lesson one, we covered the G, which is get attention. Lesson two, we covered the R, which is remove responsibility. And today, we're going to cover the I in GRIPE, which is inspire envy. Now, as we've discussed, people complain for five reasons, and each of them has to do with getting a social or psychological need met. People who complain to get attention want to be seen. People who complain to inspire envy want to be seen as superior. Here's what I mean. I have a good friend who just purchased a $40,000 speedboat. You know how I know he just purchased a $40,000 speedboat? Because he tells me all the time. But he wouldn't be so crass as to come out and brag about the fact that he has so much money that he can afford a boat costing more than many people's cars. No, he'd seem like an insecure and privileged jerk. So instead, he complains about things related to the boat, always managing to weave the price he paid into the complaint. You know, when you buy a $40,000 speedboat, you think it would come with better seat covers. Another day, he said, $40,000 for a boat and the key ring doesn't even float. I even heard him recently say to someone, yeah, I love my boat, but for 40 grand, you think it would come with a better trailer. Now, and here's the interesting point. When he's bragging about his boat, it's almost always to people for whom having a boat in that price range would be impressive. You see, this gets his need for being superior to others met. But what if he found himself at a party with 50 of the world's wealthiest people, all of whom could buy thousands of $40,000 boats? Would he work into the conversation a complaint about the hassles of owning what to these people would seem like a cheap boat? Of course not. This wouldn't make him seem superior, but would instead diminish his status. To fully get this idea, consider it in reverse. The man I'm talking about earns several hundred thousand dollars a year. Still, with that income, a $40,000 boat, pretty impressive. But if he had just bought a $300 fishing boat, he wouldn't feel the need to brag to his friends because they'd think less of him, not more. I told you that complaining to get attention is my particular complaining challenge. In the past, I complained a lot to get people to notice me, to talk to me, to engage me, just give me any sort of attention. So is it any wonder that I love being on stage, inspiring people? Well, the second primary reason that I personally complain, and I guess I'm a little ashamed to admit it, is to inspire envy. In school, I was the class clown, and as George Carlin said, the class clown is really just saying, dig me. I can remember being a kid and my mom picking us all up in our carpool. There were about six of us in the station wagon, and I was seated in the front seat next to my mom. All the other kids were in the back, laughing and talking, and I sat up there. I felt like I was a million miles away from my friends. I felt like I wasn't important. I felt diminished, so I did something to try and assert some importance to get people to notice me. Mom, I said in a voice loud enough for everyone to hear, do we have to spend the entire month of August at our condo at the beach It gets so hot there. The mosquitoes come off the march. There's tons of jellyfish on the beach in August. I'd rather stay an extra 2 weeks at the lake house.
Yeah.
I actually said that. I complained about our beach house in front of my friends to make sure that they knew we had a beach house. And that's just one of many examples I can give. You know, I'm being real with you because I want you to be real with yourself. I've looked at myself in each of these areas because once we discover our predominant reason for complaining, we can seek to get those needs met without the toxicity and destruction of griping. Make sense? So yeah, I was a spoiled brat, financially anyway, and I used that to inspire the envy of other kids. Just like my buddy in his boat, as a kid, I complained to the right audience. You see, none of the other kids in my carpool's families had a lake house, and I was pretty sure they couldn't even afford a beach house. So I complained in such a way to make sure I was able to mention them both. Again, I know I sound like a total stinker. To inspire envy, you must complain about things that would be considered luxuries to your audience. The point is to appear to be superior to other people. And really, you've got to remember that the whole complaint is just a ruse. The point is not to complain about something, but to brag about that very thing, but to do it surreptitiously. This way, you can openly brag about something without being called a braggart. Remember, throughout the world, most cultures value humility. And bragging is the opposite of humility. Humility good, bragging bad. But if you disguise the brag inside a complaint, you can brag without any of the backlash. Now, you might have already figured out that a person complaining to make themselves appear superior is actually feeling inferior. And you'd be right. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who seeks status has an inferiority complex. I am saying that people who complain to inspire the envy of others, for some reason, feel diminished and want to inflate their perception in the minds of others so that they will reflect that opinion back. It goes like this. I feel bad about myself, so I complain, which is actually brag to other people, specifically to people who would be impressed. They then show their admiration back, which puffs up my sense of self-esteem. It's all actually pretty fascinating. And again, why do we do it? Because it works. It works. It gets us attention. I've seen my boat buddy complain to other people about his $40,000 boat, and most people typically say something like, "Wow, $40,000 for a boat. What kind is it?" See, this now gives my friend the opportunity to drop the brand name, and it's a name that tends to impress people in our area. By this time, the other person has totally forgotten the minor flaw in the boat that my buddy was complaining about to get their attention. They're now asking him all about the boat and whether they're as good as everyone says, etc. He's now a bit of a celebrity, and he loves it. And he was able to get this attention by expressing a perceived hardship. You know, when you pay $40,000, you'd expect that the seat covers would be easier to put on, or some other complaint. Let's him inspire others to envy him. Inspire envy.
We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Changing, we're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.